again?
All right. I'm Pete Verdone.
I'm Pete.
I'm from Marin. I live in Fairfax.
Okay, I know that.
I build bikes. I have a web page that has all kinds of stuff that geeky builder types are into, where we talk about weird-ass shit.
Okay.
And, or I do.
And I'm Kent Erickson.
Kent Erickson, and you're here to show your bike?
Spelled E-R-I-K-S-E-N.
Okay. So my perspective that I like to look at is from a design and construction point of view.
Okay.
Primarily design. And in terms of, like, geometries, I'm a big geometry guy. But also, you know, from a, you know, solid modeling or how you are solving certain problems from an engineering perspective, or just how do you get to weld something up, or the actual nuts and bolts of making it, you know? So maybe we could start with a bike that you have here that you, has got some elements on it that you're proud of, and we can springboard from there.
Well, I got to say right now that Brad Bingham, who is actually just buying me out right now, or just bought me out.
Sure.
I'll be working for him now.
That's excellent news. I'll interview him next.
Yeah, so he is our modeler. I mean, he's our SolidWorks guy.
Sure.
So he does
He
does all the high-tech stuff on that end, and he does all the welding.
Yep.
So he can tell.
He's won awards here many years.
Yes, he's a pretty talented guy.
Yes.
I still do a lot of the hands-on mitering. I'm still hard to beat as far as getting a bike in the jig, you know, and all the tube shaping, all that type of
so you,
jig
you were,
building.
So you were one of the co-founders of Moots.
I am the only founder.
Okay, you
I mean,
found,
the originator
I'm
of Moots.
Sorry. I'm not a history guy, so
yeah.
I lose it there. And then you went off and you started your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, I took in partners at Moots, and so I did have partners. But the first 5 years, I didn't have any partners at Moots. And then
both brands are, in my opinion, some of the best bikes you can buy. They are gorgeous.
We're lucky that we moved over to Titanium just because of just the strength, and the painting was brutal. You know, the painting can be brutal. I feel for all the guys that
So you're not
paint,
in, you're not into
bikes.
Coatings.
Well, only because it's back when we did it was Imron, and you know we had air pumped in from the outside, so we did use precautions, but it still was lacquer thinner and just nasty. You know, so yeah, it'll kill you over time, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so. When you say that, like, Brad is doing a lot of that modeling and he's doing the welding.
Yeah, so we should look at the full suspension bike over there.
Okay, sure.
Plants the feet. Boy,
excuse
me.
I mean, the biggest challenge on this bike, well, we have a little bit of a matched pivot link thing going on, but which allows the...
The titanium flexes
a little bit to accommodate for about 3 millimeters of deflection back here, you know, so you have to have great welding. He's always really careful not to have any oxygen in the weld zone, you know. You got to get the inert gas in there.
Because with a design like this especially, that seat stay will shear, it will crack.
Yeah, but there's still tons of pressure down here. We did the Smoothie, we did the Mountaineers, we did quite a few different bikes, but as we introduce more and more travel, anyway, there's just a ton of stress down here at the bottom bracket.
Yep.
And so he designed this the 16th inch plate, 6'4" plate, 9-piece yoke that goes on the bottom of the bottom bracket. And that took a lot of modeling. It took, you know, the SolidWorks, and he had to have everything designed so after it was bent, it was all the perfect dimensions.
So he's doing that. What's your value added to Erickson other than your you? Like, what are you really bringing that make the bikes better?
Experience, I guess. I still, you know, showed him how to do all the alignments. I do all the mitering still, so I get the bike, you know, the alignments to me are...
So you're cutting it up, you're setting
really important. Yeah, and then I work with customers and making sure the bikes fit them properly.
So you're doing the geometry sheets.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I...
But he is starting to do more and more of that, and I'm just reviewing him.
Okay. You know, so. as a builder myself and as a geek, one of my critiques of the show is that nobody puts their geometries out.
Uh-huh.
It's just pretty paint jobs. And your booth traditionally has been one of the only booths that actually does put out a print, just like this, And in this industry where there's a lot of talk about fit and
you got to get involved, because if the customer's not comfortable, likely they're not comfortable because maybe they've been to a fitter or maybe they haven't. But, I mean, the fitters can be...
Well, there's charlatans out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot of guys that, you know, crank the seat way up too high because they show, you know, the customer might show the most power in that position. But, I mean, that's why you sprint when you... That's why you stand up when you sprint a bike, you know. Yeah. You're most powerful, but you can't maintain that position, you know. So, a lot of times I can, just because I have the experience, I can tell almost immediately if somebody's got their seat crank too high, just from their, you know, inseam, from their Levi's or whatever.
Sure.
And also their positioning on the bike, if they're too far forward, too far back, whatever, I can help. Although you got to keep an open mind, and everybody is a lot, I mean.
Well, it gets into riding styles.
I have learned so much from my customers too. You
sure.
Know?
You know, I went to a talk on fit or geometry a few years ago at a NABS, and I attended that, and it was one of the better discussions that I've been around on the subject. And I think you even ran late and kept talking.
Oh boy.
And no, but it's good because there, you know, your point of view was especially for me at the time, a very good thing to hear, compared to a lot of the chatter that we hear out there about fit or how it's done. You know, someone who's practical, hands-on, that's been doing it forever, and almost sees the numbers, and trying to explain that.
Well,
really
I've been
helps.
Very lucky. I've got to work with, you know, some pretty experienced cyclists.
Sure.
You know, I mean, Tour de France riders or Olympians even sometimes,
yeah.
You know, once
so you get
in
to
a while.
Learn as much from them as...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And it's just not set in stone, you know. You can't... You know, be a. You just got to stay open.
Sure.
Know?
What kind of trends are you looking at in terms of geometry and things like that kind of excite
well,
you?
Well, it seems like people want more trail built into their frames for the most part. You know, something that just feels like it's more on a rail. The bikes are, they're sitting more upright, so they're putting less weight on the front end overall. We work with a lot of, I guess, older gentlemen that, you know, definitely need a more upright position, so.
I'm starting to get there.
Yeah, and a little stiffer bike. We like to build a bike that just tracks by itself. A little bit stiffer as far as torsionally, because, I mean, there's everything going for it as far as making it stiff this way, so we try to make it less stiff vertically in some aspects,
yeah.
But more stiff torsionally so that it doesn't, you know, you don't hit a crosswind or a high speed shimmy doesn't start happening. I mean, that's the worst thing if you build a bike that shimmies,
yeah.
And the people can't seem to figure it out, you know. But
when you think back at all the bikes you've built, sort of what bike do you remember? Maybe it stands out more even 20 years later. Is there something about... a certain thing that might just kind of stick with you?
I mean, I love... not really, but I mean, I get to ride the bike, so... I guess as you get older, your memory starts going on that kind of stuff, so...
Uh-huh.
But I do get renewed every time I ride, you know, especially our tandem. I mean, it's just... So fast. Not so much our road tandem as our mountain tandem. How fast you can go and how much faster you can go then, because you don't have to worry about endoing. So as long as you don't step your front wheel into something,
shatter the wheel,
you can just, you know, 60 miles an hour on a mountain tandem on a dirt trail sometimes, you know, is possible.
How often do you redo your personal bikes that you ride? Like, say your mountain tandem that you love there. Like
it needs to be redone right now. The rear rim exploded.
No, I'm
the
talking
end of last
from a frame geometry
well,
standpoint.
Right, not too much. We're building them for the plus size now, so we're trying to fit in the 3-inch tire in the back with the 27.5 or
is
the.
Is there a heavy enough tire for doing that with a tandem?
That's a good question. I don't know yet.
Because that's a big critique on that kind of thing.
I don't
thing
know what brand swarmy. It is, but we have sold a few and people are riding them and loving them, so.
Okay.
So they must be holding up. And then, of course, that same bike will fit like a 2.5 or 2.4 29er tire.
Sure. Yeah.
Little different bottom bracket height, but not by more than a couple millimeters.
What kind of bottom bracket heights do you usually look for?
On a tandem, high.
Okay.
Because it's so stable.
Right.
That you just want, you don't want to be hitting your pedals on a mountain bike tandem.
Sure.
And road tandem,
a
little higher on a, generally we're a little lower than the industry standard. Although I'm getting a little more aware that some people don't ride with high clearance pedals. You know, I mean, some of them are low, I should say low clearance pedals. Anyway, some pedals definitely stick down farther, so you got to be aware of that if they're using flats or mountain bike pedals versus road pedals. But overall, like a road bikes would be a lower bottom bracket.
Like do you have a number?
75 like, drop, 75
okay.
millimeter drop would be. Sometimes we do 80. That's doable.
Sure.
For like a 170 crank, no problem. But people have to be aware that they need to ride, you know, road pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're riding crits, they might be able to out-corner people because of the lower bottom bracket. It's kind of like lowering your car. They actually feel better cornering. But you do have to be aware of where that pedal is.
Don't start pedaling too soon.
Right. You might not be able to pedal. You might be following somebody's wheel, and you might have to be a little more aware, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you might also be able to cut inside better, you know.
You probably get a lot of fits from pro fitters for their customers.
Yes.
What are the mistakes that you see a lot with the fit sheets that get submitted to you, where you kind of just wish you could smack the person and kind of go, oh, come on.
A lot of triathlete fits, I think. A lot of really forward positions that are real high.
For road.
And, you know, those same people have real discomfort, you know, just because they're reaching for their pedals. They're just extending their legs too far. Like I had a guy just a few minutes ago talking to me about his problem with finding the right seat. And he said, you know what, I finally realized, lower your saddle about a half centimeter, he said, is all he took, and it fixed all his problems. So, you know, you got to be, I guess the worst mistake a fitter can make is setting in stone that this is the position you got to be in, this is the only, being inflexible, this is
based on a studio,
this is anatomically the correct fit. And you should, if you want to perform properly, this is the position you got to be in, to be that bullheaded about it.
Sure.
Instead of letting the person try to, you really should just be educating the people on trying different things. You know, somehow mapping out a geometry for them that they can relate to, you know, even if it means putting tape on their seat or whatever. So this is my goal, that you get comfortable with this.
Sure.
But these are the things you should try if you have these symptoms.
Sure.
You know,
well, there's also the stuff like, you know, me building bikes and everything.
It's like if I was a bike builder with only 10 years experience, now I got, 40 almost, you know, and having the same mindset I had 30 years ago, you know, being that stubborn about it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these fitters just don't really have the experience with enough data and enough, you know, feedback from their riders, or they're not listening to the feedback.
Sure. So, or their methodology is more of a religion than it is based on a
scientific
method.
You get it from a graph. I mean, come on. A lot of them are just getting it from a graph based on anatomy. And, you know, I know I can name a couple of, you know, like there's a guy named Steve Tilford, who's a pretty famous bike racer, and there's a guy named Alexi Graywall, won the Olympic gold medal. And Alexi rolled his Jeep and got hurt really bad, and he needed a totally different position after that, you know. So, but they have the same bone legs, same anatomy, almost exactly, you know. So, but totally different positions. So.
Here's an interesting question. You've been working with titanium for so long, you know it very well. If I were to be designing a bike using titanium, what sort of ways would I be? Let's say for a hardtail mountain bike, what sort of tubing or considerations would you be making particular to titanium
for a different weight
material?
Well, different weights of riders, but our philosophy is play it safe and build them plenty strong and build them a little stiffer, you know, torsionally than the next builder, because you're probably going to get better feedback, you know, that it's it climbs a little better. Even if it weighs a little more, I guess the big worry would be to build a to underbuild the bike. Because, I mean, titanium can be built really light, but it's a handful to handle because of the flex.
Right.
So you're better off building a little stiffer.
Right.
And I guess we're trying to hit the performance of the carbon bikes.
Right.
And even if it weighs a quarter pound more, there are ways to lighten your bike in other directions.
How much is carbon sort of eaten into what you do here, or is it at your point here negligible effect?
I think it's eaten into the market a lot, although it's raised the bar and people are a lot more willing to pay the money because of the, you know.
And, it's raised
so a lot of people have gone through a number of carbon bikes after the crash or whatever. Carbon bikes are really strong the way they're intended to be used, meaning riding down the road and even a occasional head-on or something they can withstand. But if they fall funny or, you know, hit an impact that they're not designed around, then they just shatter. So like seat stays or a chain stay in a crash in a pro race, you know, road race, I mean, you're going to have carbon fiber fragments into people's arms and legs all over the place. And, I mean, there's just chaos. It's like you've been attacked by a band of Indians or something sometimes. So the tire just dent, you know, it really will hold up to that.
It's more rugged.
It'll last maybe 10,000 years if it's built right. So
how's this from a design point of view? If you're got, say, two customers, same body shape and everything like that, and weight and stuff, one wants an XC race bike, one wants an enduro type bike.
Oh, yeah, you just stretch out. I mean, the big trend these days is a lot longer front centers, which I totally agree with after riding a tandem.
Sure.
They're a little more, they're not quite as fun, not as intuitive on a medium speed, curvy course maybe, you know, and sometimes you can't get enough weight over the front tire, so you got to, you know, shift your weight back and forth, but it's more like riding your motorcycle or something. It's a little on the bigger side. You just got to shift your weight to accommodate.
A lot more body movement.
A little more body movement to get it to corner certain times, but it certainly does open up the door for how fast you can go down a hill. Because, you know, in the past, the short front center bikes, you have to be way in the back seat, right, you know, and afraid to go downhill.
Sure.
Fast. So, yeah, those longer front centers have really
do you see
made
that,
it
Do you see the
safer.
XC builds starting to drift more toward the longer front centers
Every,
as well?
Yeah. You know, they're not a huge amount. You don't want to go, I mean, we're talking baby steps, but an inch, you know, add an inch.
We're not catching up to the Spanish anytime soon, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, about an inch, you know. In the last 10 years, you're riding at least an inch longer front center on a cross bike. Another thing you got to take into consideration is the longer the travel is in the front fork, the more you have to add to the front center if it's stagnant, you know,
sure,
measurement. Just because as that fork compresses, that front center gets shorter.
Sure.
And, of course, your head angle gets that much steeper. So you got to kick back to accommodate for that.
What do you see some of the
travel for?
What do you see are going to be some of the, you know, we've got the gravel bikes and the more adventure-y bikes and things like that. Say, where are all these things going to start converging a little bit more? Or are we going to start seeing a little bit more scattering?
Well, it only makes common sense to, if you're not a pro racer, just to have one bike that does two things, you know. So have a gravel bike that, it's kind of like having a GS ski. Maybe it's not, it doesn't give you quite as much excitement when you hop on it, you know. Even with fast race wheels,
sure,
it's still going to be like a GS versus a slalom ski or a super G, you know, as far as handling. But at speed, it's going to be faster probably. You'll be more relaxed, you know. You'll probably, even at on flats, you might feel more comfortable on it. So, you know, feeling every little bump on the road subliminally is going to slow you down. You know, you're just not going to want to pedal as hard because you just hit them that much harder, all those bumps.
You're going to be more cautious.
So I think a longer bike can actually be a lot faster, you know. So, it just seems a little longer bikes are going to be the popular thing. And then enough clearance to accommodate different tire sizes, you know. So
cool. Well,
that's kind of the trend right now for road and gravel.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the interview, and thank you so much for posting your prints. Like I said, you're one of the few that thinks geometry is important.
Well, we try. We certainly try to make a bike that people love, and we pretty much nail it.
Yes, good
time,
stuff.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the interview.